Okay, if you would open up your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'm just going to start there to just a couple other verses. There's several verses I'm going to be mentioning. There'll just be a couple other verses that we'll turn to. I'm going to go over tonight benefits of trials, fire that refines our faith. So the benefits of trials, and if you things that Pastor has been going over in 1 Peter, it's mentioned several times and right here in the beginning of 1 Peter, that the trials that we are going to go through, that's without a doubt we are going to. But you know, there are things that God's children have in common with the world. Can you think of what those are? One thing that is common with the world. We all go through trials. The world goes through trials. Those who do not know Christ, they go through trials. And we know that God's children will go through trials. It's whether it be whatever it might be, any type of suffering, affliction, but they will continue until God calls us home, right? And like I said, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. All right. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Okay, so, a couple... Actually, it was last month in December. If you remember, Mark, he had shared with us on a Sunday morning that not all of our trials happen because of our sin. Now, they may. God may put us through that at times because of our sin, but they don't all result in because of our sin. You know, it is for God's providential plan. You know, Job said in Job 23:10, that God knows the way he takes, and that when he has been tested, he will come forth as gold. He sees that God has tried him. And you remember, what did God say of Job? Have you considered my servant Job? He is righteous, right? And Job sees that his testing, God is testing me in such a way, and we know the end of the book, what it says, but in Job's situation, God allowed Satan to test Job, whom God said he was blameless and upright, a man who fears God. So our trials, it tells us right there, our trials are going to come, not only because of our sin possibly, but God is using him in a certain way. God is the potter. And he is molding his children into what he wants us to be. Yes, God will purge our sinful dross as we grow and mature, and at times, even as we struggle with sin. You know, in the midst of those trials, we are commanded, as James 1, 2, and 3 states, count it all pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. He goes on to say in verse 4 that perseverance must finish its work to help us grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus. Our faith must remain on the focus point. And who is that focus point? It is Jesus Christ. When we're going through those trials, do we focus on Christ, or do we, if you're like me sometimes, focus on ourselves? So, we will go through trials, and they will come in many ways, sizes, severity, not so severe, but they are trials. But one thing we must focus and remember, they are purposeful. God has a purpose in them. So, with that, let me open with a word of prayer, and we'll dig into what we're going to be looking at, okay? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that Jesus said would come after he ascended to your right hand. Father, we thank you for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and what he does in our lives. And Father, we thank you for the purpose that you have in each thing that we go through, each and every day, moment by moment, that you have a purpose in that you are working in us, helping us to continue to grow and mature in you. And Father, we thank you for that. Now, Lord, I ask your blessing as we look into your word tonight. May you be honored and glorified as we look into trials and what they do and the benefits that you use them for in our lives. And I pray that, Father, you help us continue to progressively grow in such a way that these trials will magnify your blessed name in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. For it is his name I pray. Amen. Okay, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to go over five, I'm going to use a reference of a book by one of our missionaries. You all know Bruce McDonald, okay? Bruce had wrote a book called The Fight of Faith, okay? And in the middle of that, in the middle chapters, he had used a couple chapters to describe the different types of how God uses and how he could use trials in our life, okay? And we're going to go over five of them tonight, okay? And if there is another time for me to come up here, I'll go over the other five another time, all right? But for time's sake, I'm afraid I would take a little longer if I went over all 10 of them. And obviously, this list is not exhaustive, okay? God can use these trials in many, many different ways. So, the first one, that we might share in Christ's suffering. You ever think about that? You're going through this trial that we understand and share in what Christ suffered for you and I. We need to be constantly reminded of how much Jesus suffered on our behalf. And think about that. Yes, he willingly and obediently went to the cross, didn't he? Now, was that a struggle for him? Sure it was, because of his relationship with the Father, right? He knew that at that point, when he took on all our sin, that relationship, that's the unbelievable suffering that he went through, that relationship with the Father was going to be broken for a while. Now, we break our fellowship with the Lord. We were born sinners, right? And that fellowship is broken. And praise be to God through what Jesus Christ has done. We can have that relationship with God again because of what Christ has done. And Jesus suffered on our behalf. We are to identify with Jesus, for he is our identity. And we are just here on this earth as temporary aliens. So, in Philippians 3:10, Paul states, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Paul speaks of the actual experience of Christ's resurrection power and of suffering with and for him, even to the point of death. Now, trials may come so that we can identify with and appreciate what Christ voluntarily and obediently suffered for you and I. Wow. I am just, you know, without that, we don't have a hope, right? And praise God for that. Number two, so not only do we use these in the fact that we might share in Christ's sufferings, number two, that we might be a testimony to the sufficiency of God. In Philippians 1:12, Paul states, "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." So, you think about Paul. He's in Philippians. He's in prison at the time, right? Would you say that's a trial for Paul? Being in that prison? Absolutely. And what does he say? "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." His focus is where? In God and God alone, in the fact of where, what he can do. How can you use me, God, where I am right now? Can you think about that? And just talking with Larry earlier, you know, he had had his prison ministry today. And you think about that. I know Larry will share what we can pray for here a little bit later, but the fact is, if a follower of Christ, for some reason, happened to be put in a situation like that, would you and I, if it happened to be you and I, would we have that mind that Paul has? Wow. God is sufficient in any situation. When a person is in the midst of a trial, however difficult, he or she may be asked. Now think about this. So you're going through a trial. You've handled it a certain way. And I'm talking about people that don't know Christ. How can you handle what you're going through? How can you do this? What's your secret? I don't know if you've ever been asked that. But what an opportunity, right? This is a great opportunity for us to share. The psalmist says in 46:1, "God is our refuge and our strength, and an ever-present help in times of trouble." And Paul states again, after he says that he has learned the secret of contentment in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." If we think about it, going through a trial can be one of the most powerful demonstrations to a watching world of a testimony of what God has done in your life and that he is real and personal by his grace. 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul stated there that the struggles that he had was a thorn in his flesh, right? The Lord put a thorn in his flesh. But what did the Lord tell him? "My grace is sufficient for you." So, not only in trials that we might share in Christ's sufferings, that we might be a testimony to the sufficiency of God, number three, that we might be able to identify with others in their difficulties and hardships. And you know, that probably is, as I went through and I've read this book a few times, as I've read through this, that's probably the one that, I can identify with people. I can help and share with them, right? I can encourage them because I know what you're going through. Or they can encourage me because they've been there and they know what I'm going through because of their experience. God never intended us to be lone rangers. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 shares what a body in Christ looks like. Verse 12 states, "The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body." He also says in verse 14, "Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many." And also in verse 26, "If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it." When God sends or permits trials into our lives, we are suddenly more sympathetic to others who have had like trials. Would you not agree with that? Absolutely. We can come alongside them and encourage them through our experiences, whether it be sharing words of care, scripture verses, hugging, praying with them, or just being there with them. Right? I'd like for you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I want to read, you can read along with me, read silently, you don't have to read out loud. starting at verse 3, and I want to read all the way through verse 7. And look at this. And this actually speaks right to what Bruce has identified as the third thing. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. Wow, so thankful that Paul is telling the Corinthians here of their encouragement with each other and the like sufferings that they go through, how we can be an encouragement to each other, not only in our sufferings, but in our comforts also. Okay, so we've had that started off first, that we might share in Christ's suffering, that we might be a testimony to the sufficiency of God, that we might be able to identify with others in their difficulties and hardships, and number four, that we might learn how to pray more intelligently for others. When we experience trials, it makes us sensitive to others, and we therefore want to pray. So, you know, I don't know if you've ever done that. Have you ever seen somebody that you think, oh, wow, come on. You know, come on, you could be strong. And you're thinking this to yourself. Come on, you got to be strong. You got to be strong with it. Now, this is a bad example, but I can share this with you. I can remember my wife having bad back trouble. Okay, and I was not sympathetic with her at all. I said, come on. I didn't tell her that, or I'd be picking myself up. No, I wouldn't. But come on now. I'm thinking, it can't be that bad. Well, boy, did the Lord show me. So here I am. I used to work with my dad in the summers in construction. And so we're finishing up a job in Bell Fountain. All I did was bend over to pick up one end of a ladder. And, oh, I couldn't straighten up. So I had a little more sympathy for my wife. So, because she understood, she just kind of smiled when I went home and had to go get worked on. But now the bottom line is, you know, we need to be sensitive to people. They are real. You know, I remember someone sharing in our Thanksgiving service about, you know, they said themselves that, you know, not that, This is a real thing, and struggling with depression. It's real. And that person stood up and said that and said, you know, I never thought that, but I went through it. And depression, you know, it helps us to be more sensitive to that and how we can come alongside someone, whatever it may be. And I just use those as an example, whether it be physical pain or whether it be mental anguish or whatever it can be. But when we experience trials, we do want to be sensitive. We therefore want to pray for them. And as stated in the benefit before, what we experience in trials may prompt us to pray for others going through a similar one, and vice versa, where it prompts others to be praying for us. Right? You know, Paul shares with Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:1, I urge then, first of all, that request, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. And to the church at Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, to pray without ceasing. And in James 5:1 states, the prayers of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And you know, I'm really thankful when Pastor did that, was it 2 years? that he went through studying on Paul and prayer. I really appreciate it to give that understanding of how to pray more effectively and the opportunities that we do have to pray and the command we have to pray. So, we've gone through those four, okay? That we might share in Christ's sufferings, that we might be a testimony to the sufficiency of God, and that we might be able to identify with others in their difficulties and hardships, and that we might learn how to pray more intelligently. And number five, that we might honor God in the presence of heavenly beings. Now, this one really struck me, because this is one that you think about, you know, what God uses in trials, but this is one, as we're going to be progressively sanctified in our walk with Christ, as long as he has us here on earth, he's working in us, right? And we're growing, and we're maturing. So, as I saw that one, I thought, wow, I never thought about that. And you think about that, the heavenly beings, the angels, they're in heaven with God, but even in our trials, his intent was that now that the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that comes from Ephesians 3, 10 and 11. Now that's a fascinating thought. Our lives, actions, attitudes, and that's all about our spiritual growth, have an impact on the invisible world. The angels rejoice when we grow. You realize that? You think they're down there, or up down there, up there, where we're down here, that they rejoice when they see us growing and maturing because of the work that Christ has done in us, and as we grow in that walk. That's an exciting thing. You know, the process of redemption and spiritual growth in God's children so intrigues the angels that they long to look into these things. You know, as Peter stated in 1 Peter 1:12, you know, thinking about spiritual beings watching us reminds us that they can give glory to God because of our responses of how God uses us and those little victories that God allows us to have as we grow and mature through trials, through whatever it may be, right? You know, trials don't always have to be negative. I think you can attest to that. I know I can. It's a trial when things are going well. Where does my focus go? A lot of my focus sometimes goes on accomplishments rather than on God, right? So, okay. So, of those five that I gave, as we try to understand trials, remember that no trial is wasted, for they have a divine intent. The processes of growth, conformity, and maturity must take place here on earth. Trusting God through our earthly life is of supreme importance for all of God's children, since it directly affects our spiritual growth. Therefore, we can trust in what Paul says to the church of Philippi, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And I'd like to finish, if you would turn to Romans 8, 28 and 29. Romans 8, 28 and 29. Everyone knows that, but we are so thankful for this, and it tells us why and how we go through these trials that God puts us through, starting at verse 28 in Romans 8. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Wow. Aren't you thankful that God uses these trials, that he is conforming us more and more to the likeness of his Son as we grow and we walk in this lifetime. Boy, that's got to be our bent. That's got to be our drive focusing on Christ and Christ alone.